I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening once again. Well, for the final time this year, welcome in. It is Vern's Hot Stove. I love the show, love my offseason. I'm ready for meaningful games to return for you and I at Kauffman Stadium. 1 week away from opening day. My name is Josh Vernier, the Royals insider for 96.5 The Fan, anxiously awaiting next Thursday at the K. Also looking forward to our event coming up next Friday out at Hollywood Casino. More on that in a moment. And before we head out to Goodyear, Arizona, and are joined by our guest inside the Royals dugout, let me begin with a special thank you to our sponsor, Guaranteed Foods. I sincerely am grateful for your support. Very thankful for what you provide. Great food, great service, a great experience from a great American country, great American company, and of course, a great American country. Just had the Thai-style red quinoa with veggies, chicken breast, well-seasoned. Feel like $1 million, well-fed, eaten healthy, thanks to Tom and everyone at Guaranteed Foods. Thanks to you for listening once again tonight and throughout the off-season. Thanks to those that download the podcast, the All Things Vern podcast. You can find that on the Odyssey app or wherever you download podcasts. Coming up, I'll give you my theme for this 2025 Kansas City Royals ball club. But first, let's talk with one of the greatest Kansas City Royals of all time, number 29. It's on his back. It's a number that has not been reissued since last worn by the gentleman joining us now from inside that Royals dugout in Goodyear, the captain, Mike Sweeney. Mike, great, hey. Very grateful for your time this afternoon. How are you? How's the boys looking?
Vern, we're doing great. I'm loving being down here in spring training with the boys, and it's an honor. Number one, I want to say it's an honor to have worn Dan Quisenberry's number, the great number 29. And people ask me why they gave it to me. And my first 3 years in Kansas City, I thought it was because I spent more time on I-29 than I did at Kauffman Stadium going back and forth to Omaha. but going looking back, it was such an honor to wear Dan Quisenberry's number. And now I'm here doing leadership with the guys, and we're here playing one of our second-to-last games, and we're getting ready to play some ball opening day. It's great.
What has you most excited from what you've been able to hear and see from these 2025 Royals?
You know, Vern, I saw you down here last week, and there's just a sense of energy. There's confidence. There's growth and maturity. You know, you look around and you see, you know, Bobby and Michael Massey and Vinny. I mean, they went from boys that are very talented going into the playoffs last year, and now they're men. I mean, they expect to not only do what we did last year, but to get better and to move forward even longer into the playoffs. So there's just a real detailed sense of urgency in how guys are preparing every day, the way they come to work. I mean, Salvi was in the gym 6:30 this morning with Freddie after a night game last night. So there's a sense of urgency that the guys are playing with, and I think they're excited to get back home for opening day.
What do you marvel at of late when it comes to Salvador Perez, the latest to wear that C on his chest? You know, coming up on his 35th birthday and looks as good as ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that the way he takes care of his body. And, you know, like I said, I was in the gym at 6:30 this morning and Salvi was already in a pool of sweat. And that's somewhat, you know, early, but we had a night game last night and Salvi played in it. And it just goes to show you his determination to stay healthy, to not let Father Time get him. I mean, after the production that he put forth last year, and he's mentoring Freddie Vermeen, he's driven to be even better. And, you know, hopefully 5 years after he wears that royal blue jersey for the last time, he'll be in Cooperstown. And it's going to be a joy to see his journey from being that rookie and seeing him evolve and now wearing that captain's jersey that I was blessed to give him alongside of George Brett and Frank White, and to see him take off with that role as a leader, his determination, his grit, he's a champion. It really, really is special to be a part of in a small way here down here in Surprise, Arizona.
Royals Hall of Famer Michael Sweeney, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. No doubt about it, Salvi heading to Cooperstown. Speaking of Cooperstown, I'm diving into some stats because I'm a nerd, and that's what I enjoy. And I'm looking at your statistics. Your OPS, yeah, of course, ranks number one in Royals history. And as a matter of fact, there are only 7 active big leaguers that have walked to the plate in the big leagues as many times as you did, while posting an OPS as high as you did. And all 7 are going to join Salvi in Cooperstown. It's Jose Ramirez, Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, and the great Mike Trout. Mike Sweeney's our guest. I'm curious, what aspect of your career impresses you most the further you get away from your playing days?
You know, Vern, I appreciate that. I don't have a chance in Cooperstown. I was just a kid that grew up in Southern California, the second oldest of 8 children, wanting to make my dad proud. And I'm grateful that I came up to the big leagues. The thing that I'm most surprised is that I achieved what I did. You know, it was just a lifelong dream to get to the big leagues. Many fans forget that when I came up, my first 3 years, I was a catcher, and that contributed to some knee and back aches later in my career. But I'm just so grateful that I was a Royal for 17 years as a player, and that I've been a Royal for 13 years in leadership. And just being a small part of the organization now, it's such a gift to offer my leadership and experience to this next crop of players.
Speaking of that leadership, Jack Caglione cited your advice prior to hitting a home run out there in Cactus League action. Gavin Cross told me about a conversation that he had with you that helped him realize the changes he needed to make in his game and in his life. I'm curious, your ability to connect with this generation's ball player, does that come easy? Are they not all that different from when you were out there on the diamond? Have players stayed the same?
Yeah, well, now I give me goosebumps. I wasn't aware of them going public with this, but, you know, what do leaders do, Vern? They simply make those around them better. And when I was a player, I took a lot of pride in making those around me better. And I know, there's probably many fans that could, agree I could have been better. I could have helped us win a championship, but doggone it, I did everything in my power to not only be my very best, but to make my teammates even better than they could have ever dreamt of. So starting with Gavin Cross, I was in AA last year and visiting our affiliates, and I went up to him and he was, battling a low back issue, but I looked over and he was out of shape, and he was he's just a good old boy from Tennessee that's super talented. And I challenged him and I said, hey, Gavin, I hope you know that if you continue at this pace, there's a scout that believed in you 3 or 4 years ago when you were at Virginia Tech that's probably going to lose his job. You're going to be a kid that's going to be an underachiever, a kid that never met his ceiling. And I said, I have 6 kids and a wife at home back in San Diego. I don't need to be here. I could stay at the Holiday Inn. I could watch a few ball games, send a report into JJ, and get home. And, I can fulfill my duties as a leader with the Royals. But I said, my job is to make the Kansas City Royals the greatest organization ever on the planet. And part of it is to build up players. And I said, I'm not going to let it happen. It was an emotional conversation, Vern. I looked at him. I said, I love you, but you're out of shape. You're an underachiever. I said, there's going to be plenty of time in your life that you're going to be able to go hunting and going fishing and playing video games, but not when you're wearing a Royals jersey. You hear me? And I looked into his eyes and I was emotional. I said, I'm not going to allow you to fail. I'm not going to allow you to be an underachiever. I'm not going to allow you to be lazy. And he came to me the next day. He said, I've never been talked to like that. And I promise you, I'm going to get a dietitian. I'm going to get a workout partner. And when I see you in spring training, you're going to see a new Gavin Cross. Boy, did we ever. It's all on him. I would never say this publicly, but because he did, I'm here to celebrate what he did, not I just encouraged him on his journey. He did it. And he went from a guy that probably their scout was going to lose his job someday to a guy now that, Gavin Cross is on the radar for making his debut really, really soon. Caglione on the second hand is, I don't know if you heard about the home run he hit yesterday. Oh, 117 miles off an hour off the bat. The guys, I was up in the backfields with our minor leaguers earlier today. They said the ball went 100 feet over. It went over the batter's eye and landed 100 feet past the 400-foot sign, over by some stop sign, over by some kids playing on a park. I mean, I don't think a Royal has ever hit a ball that hard, maybe since Bo Jackson was playing. 117 off the bat, almost 500 feet. The guy is as advanced as I've ever seen in a young hitter. He's the first one in the clubhouse every morning. He's in the weight room with, you know, the guys super early. He's coachable. He's the full package. And I think Royals fans should start getting their, you know, Caglione jerseys as well, because he's going to be a guy that's going to, I believe, help us win a World Series in the next year or two.
The great Mike Sweeney, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Very generous with your time. I just have to ask one more thing. As every year I come out to Arizona, every time the Royals are in Peoria, the newly minted Hall of Famer Ichiro, when he's in the building, he always makes sure to come and find you in the dugout. I'm curious what that relationship means to you.
Well, Ichiro, you know, going back to being a great teammate, I played with Ichiro in 09 and 2010, and he told me, had I not played with him in 09, he was going to quit playing Major League Baseball and go back to Japan because he was no longer having fun. He hated playing in the United States. His teammates were jealous of him. They were ostracizing him. And when he said, you know, he felt that me being with him saved his Major League career, and I'm grateful that to reinvigorate his career and put a little gas on his fire and just made teammates understand how great he is. But anyways, my point is, I got to see Ichiro this year, and it was great. I got a picture of you, Vern. I'm going to send it to you. Mm-hmm. George said, I want to say something to Ichiro. So he learned how to say, welcome to Cooperstown, my friend, in Japanese. So I have a picture, Vern, that you can maybe post it. It's the most beautiful picture of joy. Ichiro looking at George Brett, hearing George Brett telling him, in Japanese, welcome to Cooperstown, my friend. So Ichiro has personally invited me to join him out there. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I'll never be inducted out there, but doggone it, I'm excited to be a good teammate with many that will and have been inducted. So I think a leader finds joy in helping others and doesn't necessarily look for credit on his own.
No question about it, and no surprise on my end that you are indeed, or were, and once again continue to be a conduit of joy. Mike Sweeney, boys just walked off victorious. I know you got a handshake line and some young Royals to say congratulations to. I greatly appreciate the time on a very busy Thursday. Thank you very much, and we'll see you at opening day.
All right, thanks, Vern. We'll see you opening day. Go Royals.
Yes, sir. There he is. The great number 29, Mike Sweeney, kind enough to join us to get tonight's program started. Coming up, for almost a decade and a half, I've had my themes to the season. I have my theme for 2025, and I think it might get testy between you and I. I'll explain after this.
You're listening to Vern's Hot Stove, presented by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods has helped KC families and fans since 1958 enjoy healthier and better tasting food, eliminate shopping, cut kitchen time, all without increasing their total food bill. You'll love their products and services. Eat better at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
I'm pretty sure that's the first interview I've done with someone inside the dugout of a game that was going on. Thanks again to Mike Sweeney. If you missed it, check out that conversation on the Odyssey app. Wherever you find your podcasts, just search All Things Vern. Now, I can't tell you the sincerity that I saw in the eyes of Gavin Cross with in my conversation with him a few weeks back when he was reminiscing on that convo with Mike Sweeney that seemed to be a fork in the road type of moment in the former first-round pick's career. And, yeah, Gavin Cross had an outstanding camp. More about the impact that he and John Rave and Cam Devaney and others made over the course of the past month plus in Arizona. But as I mentioned, and I've been doing it now for, this will be, 13 years? Coming up with my theme for the season? Well, as you may or may not remember, it all dates back to 2014. I think that was the first time I really put a name on it, right? The roller coaster of 2014. And what do you know? It certainly was a roller coaster. Royals were above 500 in April. They had a losing May, but a winning June, but a losing July, and a winning August. So yeah, up and down like a roller coaster, which led into 2015, which we called the fight. Remember the fight of 2015? And what do you know? Yeah, they ended up fighting everyone. The White Sox and Mike Trout and Brett Lowry and Jeff Samardzija. They fought the Oakland A's and Adam Eaton. Lorenzo Cain became Cornholio or Caneholio. And then 2016, the year after the championship, we called it the high wire because it wasn't going to take much to knock that team off of the high wire. Going to a back-to-back World Series can take a toll on a team, and it certainly did. Moose and Gordo collide. Wade Davis, Lorenzo Cain fade at the end of the season. They get banged up, and the boys fall just short, which led to 2017, the senior season, the senior year. And we called it the senior year because if you don't handle your business in the first few semesters, you can try your heart out in that final semester. You're not going to get your team where you want it to be. You're not going to get your GPA to where you want it to be. And ultimately, that happened. Royals went 7-16 in the month of April. Entered June, 8 games below 500. Made a valiant comeback late, but finished 5 games out of the postseason. Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain leave after the senior year. Leading to 2018, we deemed 2018 the test. Because it was going to test all of us. It was going to test your fandom. It was going to test my ability to host a postgame show after just brutal baseball. And well, it certainly was. The Royals lost 21 of their first 28, and the test was on. 2019, I actually stepped away, had a good time with my friends. 2020, we came back. We came back to the Kansas City Royals in 2020 on the lifeboat. We called the 2020 season the lifeboat because, shoot, you remember what was going on in 2020. Baseball coming back was indeed a reason enough to celebrate, let alone a new manager and some young pitchers that finally allowed you to believe that this organization was going to be able to draft and develop quality arms. And in that 60-game season, 25 of those 60 games were started by Chris Bubich, or Brady Singer, or Carlos Hernandez. So yes, you saw reasons for belief coming on the horizon. Those young arms in 2020, along with having the game back, brought me life. So 2021 needed to be the step forward. Do you remember that? Do you remember the step forward of 2021? What we thought was going to be a step forward in year two of Mike Matheny? You thought it was going to be a step forward as a new Royals owner, John Sherman, had the chance to actually fill Kauffman Stadium, and he threw some money, gave some money to his front office. The front office returned by giving $18 million to Mike Minor, $18 million to Carlos Santana, $9 million to Michael A. Taylor, and Andrew Benintendi was acquired as well. Minor and Santana didn't really work out. Benintendi, Michael A. Taylor were good, good defensively. But it certainly wasn't the step forward that you and I were expecting and that some should have been demanding. Which led to 2022, the river card. Because it was my opinion that there was no spin after the river card is turned. This 2022 season is going to show what's really happening in this organization? How bright or dark is the future of this organization? That's what we're going to see in 2022. And ultimately, there was a change at the very top as J.J. Piccolo replaces Dayton Moore. Now we move to 2023. I called it the campfire because it sounds like a good time. Baseball is a good time. Going to the ballpark sounds like a good time, but if it's not entertaining when you get there, if you get to a campfire and it's, you know, cheese slices and Gatorades on a rainy night, that doesn't sound like an enjoyable campfire. And what do you know? Third lowest attendance in all of Major League Baseball. The 2023 Royals had the third lowest attendance in the sport. First time that had happened in 15 years. So yeah, the campfire was miserable. But last year, 2024, you may remember I called it the deep end. The deep end in that this new front office now believed, after the evaluation season of 2023, the front office now believed that Bobby and Massey, that MJ and Mike Hell, that Vinny and the guys, that they were ready to win. So let's put some pieces around them. Let's put some winners around them, and Waka and Will Smith and Chris Stratton and Adam Frazier and Hunter Renfro and Seth Lugo. Let's surround them with some winners and then throw them in the deep end. A very tough start to the season, but if they're able to survive in the deep end, that the next time they face adversity later on in the season, they'll be able to hearken back to what went so very well in the deep end, knowing we got through that, we can get through this. And they did get off to a very nice start to the season. And when near catastrophe struck late in the season, a la Vinny Pasquantino's thumb injury, the team was able to persevere and they ultimately made it to the postseason. And in doing so, in surviving the deep end, they became stars, ladies and gentlemen. I know that once baseball season or Royals baseball season comes to an end, that Kansas City checks out. Now, you'll flip on a few innings of the World Series or other playoff games, but you're watching your heroes on the other side of the parking lot. You're watching your dynastic football team make another run to the Super Bowl. I get it. But while the Chiefs were doing their thing, Bobby Witt Jr. is now, without question, one of the 10 most marketed players by Major League Baseball. He's everywhere. Now, I'm not saying his voice and his picture, his ability is being thrown in the faces of baseball fans everywhere. Yeah, Bobby's one of the 10 most pushed faces of baseball. Now, that's happened since and during last season, the runner-up for the American League MVP. Guys like Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, Vinny Pasquantino. I'm not going to say they're stars or superstars, but they are very well known in baseball circles. You'd be hard-pressed to find a knowledgeable baseball fan that isn't well-versed on Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, and Vinny Pasquantino. That all happened over the past 12 months. They became stars. Michael Wacha, Salvador Perez only added to their already celebrated career. Salvi, being a future Hall of Famer, is now just widely accepted. I don't hear much debate with Salvi. That happened last season. They're stars. Baseball fans, even outside of Kansas City now, know the Royals, and a lot of people love the Royals. That might be strange to hear, especially since so many Kansas City sports fans are trained to fend off the haters, right? Chiefs went from the fan favorites, everyone loves Patrick Mahomes, to now the East Coast don't got no love for Patrick Mahomes. No, it flipped. I understand that. We're not there yet with the Royals. The Royals are loved in Kansas City and outside. Now, I'm not going to say it was a quick buy-in from the city. It wasn't a quick buy-in from the fan base. There were plenty of doubters last year. Last March, last April, there were haters in May. There were haters in June. But now again, yes, everyone loves the Royals. Plenty of people loved them from the very beginning. Right? God, I can't tell you exactly. I'm not going to out them. I promised them I wouldn't. But there's a caller on the post-game show that couldn't stand the manager in April, that started to fall in love with him in September, and now he's wearing his jersey when visiting spring training. So a little bit of revisionist history. And honestly, I mean, I get it. How can you not like this team? They're a lot like, you know, Taylor Swift. You know, even if you're not a fan of the music, you got to admit they. She seems nice. They seem nice, right? The Royals seem like good people. They're fun to watch. Good starting pitching, good base running, defense, the best player on the planet. They're fun. They're a fun team. They're easy to root for. Some of you listening are nervous about the bandwagon. Some of you listening are telling me on the text line that you liked the Royals before it was cool. You know, like that music snob in high school and college that was telling me about, oh, I liked Ben Harper before it was cool. Okay, man, whatever. Bandwagon or not, let me say this. The more the merrier. Everyone loves the Royals, good. I'm glad that everyone loves the Royals right now. That they're no longer the sexy pick. That they might just be the smart pick. So that leads us to 2025. My theme for the 2025 season, the sophomore album. That's it. That's what I'm going with. Because, here's why. If the Royals can deliver something similar to that debut, similar to what we saw last season, well, I don't know about you, but I'll enjoy it. I'm not saying I'm rooting for them to bow out in the ALDS, but I would enjoy that summer. I'd enjoy another run into October. Now, sure, we're hoping for more, but some of us honestly are expecting more. They're expecting more. The guys inside the clubhouse are expecting more. And so of course we can say it. You're not greedy for saying that you're looking for more, that you'll be disappointed with the same. You know, that they should have evolved, should have shown us growth. Mental growth, physical growth, emotional growth, right? Show us what's next in this group's anthology of baseball, right? I get it. I'm right. I mean, I'm probably closer to that. I'm expecting more. So yes, there is pressure on this team. There's internal pressure. There's external pressure. I think the internal pressure is a little bit higher. I think they have even higher expectations than you and I may have. Now, what they have going for them with a sophomore album is when you're coming off a season like that, a debut album like that, fans are going to be a little bit more forgiving, a little more open to offer a little bit more grace, right? Because fans want this album, they want this season to be just as good as the players want it to be, right? We're all kind of in this together right now. We've all spent the past few months talking about this Royals team, our hopes for this, our love for this Royals team. I mean, shoot, I already know this. You're going to make excuses for them, right? Even if you don't like what you're seeing, even if what you're hearing isn't hitting the ear right out of the gate, you're going to try to groove along with those first few tracks. Even if it doesn't start off the way we all hoped, well, you know, it's a new season, and now you don't get what they're trying to do. They've evolved. Now, that's only going to last so long, because no matter who you are, the expectation is to see and hear all the things that we fell in love with last season on that last album. We want all those things, and if we're being honest, a lot of us, we want all those things in shinier delivery. Shinier packaging. So the sophomore album, what does it hold for the boys in blue? Can they go be Nirvana, Led Zeppelin? Can they go be a Tribe Called Quest? Now, I'll have a hard time getting upset if it's more the same. I won't push back all that much if it's DMX, The Clash, if it is good, very reminiscent of what we just saw. I'll take it. But if they can take that next step, if they can be Kendrick Lamar, Beyonce, Adele, that's a sophomore album. So I ask you, Kansas City, who do you think this team is? Are they Black Sabbath? Are they Hootie and the Blowfish? Are they Public Enemy? Are they Color Me Bad? Bob Dylan or Meatloaf? The first track of the sophomore album starts in less than 1 week. The whole album, of course, can be heard all summer long right here on 96.5 The Fan. And as a reminder, the day after the opener, so Friday, next Friday, March 28th at Hollywood Casino. Again, we have a great event coming up starting at 6 o'clock. The day after opening day at the K, we're all going to be out at Hollywood Casino. Everybody from 96.5 The Fan, along with Royals second baseman, DH left fielder Michael Massey, and Royals center fielder Kyle Isbell for a question and answer session. It's free to attend. A Q&A session followed by a meet and greet. Two homegrown Royals previewing the season, looking back on opening day, telling stories from the clubhouse. It's going to be a great time. Again, Friday, March 28th, Hollywood Casino, starting at 6 o'clock. Coming up, my biggest takeaways from spring training and the tough conversations heading into the final week. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Vern's Hot Stove, presented by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods has helped KC families and fans since 1958 enjoy healthier and better tasting food, eliminate shopping, cut kitchen time, all without increasing their total food bill. You'll love their products and services. Eat better at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Vern's Hot Stove, here on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks to our great sponsor, Guaranteed Foods. Can't tell you how much that's changed my life. Cannot tell you. Yeah, I got to get to my takeaways from spring training. But boy, oh boy. Check out the website. I can't vouch for them enough. Spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. So spent 4 weeks in Arizona. Again, if you're just joining us, we were pleased to be joined by Royals Hall of Famer Mike Sweeney. He joined us inside the Royals dugout during their victory this afternoon in Goodyear, Arizona. Great insight, as you would expect, from one of the greatest Royals of all time. But he made mention of it, and to me it was my is my biggest takeaway from Royal Spring Training 2025. Listen, the reason why I have deemed this season the sophomore album is because of what you heard Mike Sweeney say and what my biggest takeaway is. And it's just a very professional club. It was a very professional camp. Again, not as bloodthirsty as the boys were in 2015. Not as relieved as the boys were in 2016. Not as curious of their own abilities as they were in 2014. But, you know, kind of a combination of the professionalism of 2016 and the wind at their sails of 2015. You know, being inside that Royals spring training clubhouse for 4 weeks, it of the guys we're sure are on the team. And honestly, I think 24 of the 26 spots are already sewn up. Of those 24, none of them are characterized as youngsters. There isn't a youngster on that opening day lineup. On that opening day roster, you know, nobody on that first baseline next Thursday for the opener between Cole Reagans and Tanner Bibee, there's nobody in a Royals uniform that doesn't know the ropes. And it shows, you know, when you're talking to these guys, you don't have to pry for them to talk about the goals that they've set individually. because everyone's goals are the same. I mean, the goals could go unspoken. It's almost as if the goal for the 2025 Royals is written on the door when you walk in. It's understood. The only player that we're going to see in the lineup next Thursday without playoff experience is Jonathan India. And Jonathan India is my second biggest takeaway from spring training. Hey, Jonathan India is the only person that had a more impressive camp than Jack Caglione, and you just heard Mike Sweeney raving about Cags. India at the dish, defensively at third base, in the clubhouse, in the dugout, on the practice field, it's like he came up with these guys. It's like he helped write that message on the door about the goal goes unspoken. Because we all signed up for the same thing. And then you mention Jonathan India and the work that he's putting in on the practice fields to learn a new position at the big league level. Right, India working in left, Massey in left, Mikel in center field. All three of them are doing well for infielders learning a new position at the big league level. So, listen, it took MJ Melendez a year and a half before he looked like, in my opinion, an league average outfielder. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They look like infielders in the outfield. And they'll look, in my opinion, clearly like infielders for quite a while. You can try to hide them, but if you put them out there too much, they will get exposed. I mean, you can see it, in my opinion, in their jumps, their ability to, you know, drop it into gear and sprint to the ball. It just doesn't seem as if they trust their surroundings yet, which is understandable. They need more experience, need more reps. You could just see with how deep they're playing. In the outfield, Mikel in center, Massey in India in left. Right? Safer to play deep, keep everything in front of you. So, you know, here's the issue for the coaching staff. Because the best defensive infield, as far as I see it, is Michael Massey at second and Mikel Garcia at third. The best defensive outfield is MJ Melendez in left and Hunter Renfroe in right, which puts Jonathan India as the designated hitter. That's not, well, it's going to happen on occasion, but Jonathan India is a ball player. He's more than just a designated hitter. You didn't trade Brady Singer for a designated hitter. So the question is Massey the DH? Does Renfroe move to DH and MJ bounce over to right field? Does Freddie Fermin find himself in the lineup more? And if so, does that lead Mikel Garcia to see his playing time slashed? If so, how does Mikel handle that? You know, how do the bandmates get along as they're making this sophomore album? Seen plenty of bands let the stardom go to their heads, let the pressure break them. Well, sophomore albums are often a grind. Now, the bullpen should be less of a grind this season, and the bullpen, to me, is the third biggest story to stand out from spring training. And the amount of quality options now at the disposal of Matt Cutrero. New closer, Carlos Estevez. Lucas Urseg, two guys that, well, they've looked fine. You know, Estevez dealt with the mid-back tightness issue that slow played his ramp up in spring. But you know what, I mean, either way, whoever you're turning to in the ninth, yes, I believe it's going to be Estevez. But even with his ramp up, if it takes a while before he's given those ninth inning opportunities, I feel comfortable with either one, and I don't really care all that much. So long as they feel good, I don't really care what they do out here in Arizona. I've seen them in the biggest moments pitch well. Hunter Harvey, eager to help, that's another guy that could pick up a save or two or half a dozen before the season concludes. You know, Angel Zerpa, if you've listened to this show over the years, you know how I feel about Angel Zerpa, big fan. Big fan since he debuted as a 21-year-old. stoic for his age, his still very young age. Has he turned 25 yet? John Schreiber against right-handers, Sam Long against lefties, Alec Marsh should be able to help in some capacity, certainly by the end of April. Now, Daniel Lynch pitching too well in camp, certainly when it's juxtaposed to Carlos Hernandez, who really hasn't even made it interesting. He's out of options, and he's left the front office, it appears, with no options. Also, if you've listened to this show, you know how heartbroken I've been over Carlos Hernandez over the past few seasons. I think it honestly works out well, though, the way that Hernandez and Lynch have performed in spring. You know, you can just cut ties with Hernandez if he's claimed somewhere else. Best of luck to him. I wish him nothing but the best. And then with Daniel Lynch pitching so well in spring, I don't see how you send him to Omaha. Pitching out of the bullpen yesterday, I think it works out well for the organization because Daniel Lynch doesn't lose the battle for the five spot, right? Chris Bubich won it. Lynch doesn't lose the five spot, but he earns a spot on the big league roster. So it doesn't feel like a demotion, even though it is. Because it certainly appears, watching the way and listening to the way people react and talk about Noah Cameron, Noah Cameron's the next lefty up for the Royals rotation. So, great spring, Daniel Lynch, but I believe that you've been leapfrogged when it comes to the totem pole of starting pitchers in this organization. And man, it sounds like I'm dogging Daniel Lynch. I'm not, because both him and Chris Bubich and the options, the Noah Camerons and others, that to me is the fourth biggest takeaway from camp. You know, Lorenzen and Bubich, the 4 and 5 in some order for this team when the season begins next Thursday. I'm not expecting Michael Lorenzen or Chris Bubich to make starts in September. I'm not. I hope I'm wrong. You know, I'd be surprised if Bubich is still taking the ball, making starts in September. I hope I'm wrong, but I'd be surprised if Michael Lorenzen's putting up 165, 170 innings. But Noah Cameron sure does make me feel better about that. Alec Marsh, the mindset, the ability, the determination. And no, I wouldn't be surprised to see this team make an acquisition at the trade deadline. I know they'll be aggressive. I also believe they're going to need to make a move at the deadline. Even if it's not for a starting pitcher, they're going to need to add something to the bench. Now, sure, Jack Caglione could be a boost, but I'm not even going there yet. Certainly not July trade deadline. No, I'm not going there yet. The bench is going to need some help because, to me, the only real negative story, so we'll make it the final story out of camp, my only negative takeaway from Royal Spring Training 2025 was the bench. The lack of options. I don't know if lack of options just put a bad taste in my mouth. Now, there were players out there, so it's not a lack of options. It's a lack of capitalizing on an opportunity. Nick Prado, Nelson Velasquez, Drew Waters, they've been either underwhelming or disappointing, depending on who you ask. And as far as I see it, I just mentioned Lynch and Cameron. Prado, Velasquez, and Waters have been passed up as well. Prado and Velasquez out of options, so I'd be surprised if someone claimed either one of them, but we'll see. I just don't see how you have them on the opening day roster. I like them both. But yeah, I think they've been passed up. I think they've been outplayed by guys that have already been optioned to the minor leagues. Like Jack Caglione's a better power threat than Nelson Velasquez. John Rave, I think, is a better option than Drew Waters. Gavin Cross is a better option than Nick Prado right now. So yeah, Prado, Nelly, Waters, their future is murky in my opinion. So when I look at that bench, the four spots open for the bench, we know Freddie Fermin and Dairon Blanco, shoot, they earned their spot on the team with their performance last year. So only two spots remain with a week to play. In my opinion, the two players that have earned the spots are Kevin Biggio and Harold Castro. I'm not saying those are the two that are going to get the final two spots. I think they've played the best. They can play all over the diamond. They're both left-handed bats. If you're looking for a righty, for as much as I want to make a case for Luke Maley, the third catcher, for as good as he's been, I don't see it happening. Now, Tyler Tolbert's speed would be a huge piece late in the game, but Nick Lofton's bat is probably the best at putting the ball in play. Joey Weimer's speed and base running isn't as good as Tolbert's, but he can move, he can play center, and let's be real, Weimer was a part of the Brady Singer trade, so you know the front office has a bit more reason to give the right-hander the right-handed power threat in Weimer. They're more likely to give him a chance. He's put a nice finish to his camp as well, so Joey Weimer trying to make it interesting here at the end, as we are now at the end of the Hot Stove Show for 2025. Next time I'll talk to you is live from Kauffman Stadium, 1 hour before first pitch for the On Deck Show. Thanks to Julio Sanchez back at the studio. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it is After Hours with Logan Weber. Take care.
You're listening to Vern's Hot Stove, presented by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods has helped Casey families and fans since 1958 enjoy healthier and better tasting food, eliminate shopping, cut kitchen time, all without increasing their total food bill. You'll love their products and services. Eat better at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5. The Fan.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.